and welcome to Homeroom 603. I'm Megan Tuttle, president of NEA New Hampshire, and I'm here with Senator Molly Kelly, who will be the next governor of New Hampshire.
Thank you.
And thank you for being here. Congratulations on your primary win last week. That was amazing, and we're so glad we were able to support you in that.
Right. Well, thank you, and thank the NEA for their support. It means a lot to me personally, and it certainly meant a lot to the win. Mm-hmm. I know that, and to the victory.
Yeah. So just tell us a little bit about yourself and your campaign.
Sure. I'll just start briefly about myself. You know, Art and I have four children and seven grandchildren, and my children all went to public schools, and it was great education for all of them. And I can't even think of a better education. So you know, I think you all know how important public education means to
yes.
me. And it's personal as well, Megan. You know, early on in my life when I was just a young single mom, those three oldest that I talked about were just little at the time, just three little children. And I was single then and hadn't completed my education. So I went back to college. I went to Keene State College to do that. I took my children with me. I was able to complete my degree there. I managed apartments that we lived in right on campus with the children. And also I had a waitress job one night a week. Many have done this. And we had even a little rural paper route in Peterborough, New Hampshire on Saturday mornings. And it was hard. It was hard work. But, you know, I believed it. I believed that I needed to be able to do that, to take care of the children the way that I was important to me. And so at the bottom line, I would just say that education was my hope. It was my hope. Mm-hmm. And I want to make sure that everyone has the opportunities, not necessarily to do it the way I did, but to have those doors open. You know, education for me opened doors not just for me, but real possibilities for all of my children. And I think for every parent, that's the ultimate importance and goal that we all want. So education is my priority, public education. It was when I was in the Senate for 10 years and was on the Education Senate Committee and chaired the committee as well when we were in the majority. So it is most important, and it will be my priority as governor as well.
Great. So we do have about 17,000 members. And I think you just answered why they should vote for you. You know, public education is mm-hmm. important and the mm-hmm. most important to you. One of the biggest problems we have going on right now in education in the state is funding.
Mm-hmm.
So if you were elected, what could you do or what would you do to ensure schools are getting the resources that they deserve?
Well, I do believe that every child in the state deserves a quality education. So what we need to do is to equalize the funding across the state. That's a priority. Mm-hmm. And we need to make sure that every child receives the funding they need to move forward in their lives. It should not matter where they were born. It should not matter where they live. And it should not matter what the income of their family is. What's important is that they deserve and have a right to a quality education. And as governor, I will make sure that is there for each child. One of the things the governor does is starts the budget process. And our budget should reflect our values.
Yes.
And my number one value is education and public education. So it will be at the top of my budget. We know that our current governor, Chris Sununu, has supported school voucher programs. And those programs actually take funding from public education and move that into private and religious schools. So voucher programs weaken education.
Yes.
Also would raise property taxes. As governor, I want to strengthen public education and make sure that everyone has an opportunity, not just a few in the state. We also have our governor who's giving $100 million in tax breaks to the wealthiest corporations, and I want to use that funding to fund public education. And job training as well.
Mm-hmm. That's another really big right. topic for our members. So a few weeks ago, I came down to Manchester and we had a great roundtable discussion mm-hmm. on paid family medical leave. This again is another mm-hmm. really huge issue for our members, especially our ESP members mm-hmm. who don't usually have mm-hmm. enough hours either for unpaid, but mm-hmm. if they could have the chance to have paid mm-hmm. family leave. I just want to make sure that our members had a chance to hear from you,
sure,
what you think about it. I know I had that chance to have a conversation with
yes.
you, but just so that they can
yes.
all hear it as
that
well.
That was a wonderful event. And as you said, there were so many people around the table who talked about what a difference paid family medical leave would have made in their life or will make
mm-hmm.
in their life. So yes, I do support paid family medical leave, and I believe it is a policy that will improve excuse me, everyone's lives here in New Hampshire. The bottom line, paid family medical leave is about being with the people that you love the most when they need you the most. That's really what it is. Chris Sununu has said that it is a vacation.
Yeah.
We know Megan, it's not a vacation. And you heard that from the members who were around that table as well. And what we heard was it was about being with a newborn. It was about being with your elderly parents when they were ill, or about your child if they need you, or for a critical illness as well. And that's what it's really about. And it should never, no one who is working should ever have to make a decision. Can I be with my child who's sick? Or can I be with my newborn? And have to think, will I lose my job? Will I not be able to pay my mortgage, not be able to pay the rent, or put food on the table? That's what it is. Our governor is out of touch. He sees it as a vacation. And as we know, it is not. And it is a value I believe that we all hold. I understand the struggles of working families because that's who I am. And I think that when you're working all day, it's very difficult to be away from the people you care about, but in particular when they're ill. I was with some people the other day in another round table just about this same issue, and there was a businessman there, and he really supported the paid family medical leave program because he said for him, he wants his employees to be able to be there with the people they care
right.
the most about when they're needed the most, because they're better employees.
Right.
And as an employer, it's difficult for him to provide that kind of time to do that. And he really did not like to see his employees using up their vacation time or using up their sick time, that this was truly not a vacation. This was not about them being sick. It was about them having the ability and time and to be paid while they are with members of their family that need them.
Right.
And he supported that. He said it's good for business and it's good for an employee. So it's a win-win. And as governor, I will make paid family medical leave a reality.
Great. And as you know, educators don't really get vacation time.
Right.
So having this, you know, I mean, they don't get paid. They get summers, but they're usually off doing other jobs
right.
or they're working, you
right.
know, on curriculum and things like that. So to have this paid family leave for them to
right.
be able to take, it does make happier employees. And,
right.
you know,
right.
for employers to know that is really good.
Right. And it's not a vacation.
No.
So it should not be a trade-off
no.
of using any kind for anybody, whether you have vacation time or not. It's not a vacation. And I think that, as I said, I think our governor, Chris Sununu, is really out of touch of what working families are dealing with on
mm-hmm.
a daily basis.
So we had, I'm sure you're aware, we had a lockdown in Manchester
yes.
Recently, and the educators were there for 9 hours. And
mm-hmm.
so they were there well beyond the
mm-hmm.
school day. We had been in touch with them through NEA New Hampshire and the local leaders, hearing about what was going on. So in that situation, it was a shooter that was outside of the school.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't in the school, but, you know, it was still a lockdown. School security is still
mm-hmm.
a concern. Of the students, the parents, and educators. So as governor,
mm-hmm.
what can you do or what will
mm-hmm.
you do to make sure that the schools are safer?
You know, every time I have this conversation and as I hear you say this, I think to myself, I can't believe we're having this conversation.
I know.
You know, that we even are talking about this because it's so serious. It's about our children. It's about the safety of our children. It's just common sense. And, you know, when I mentioned that I have 4 children, Megan, I did not worry about them when they
right.
were growing up, when they went to school, whether they would be affected by gun violence. I didn't think about it. But I have 7 grandchildren, and I think about it every single day. So as governor, we do need to address this issue, stand with those young people who are so courageous and stood up, and I have stood with them and said, I'm with you. Enough is enough. We are talking about children and students. We do need to pass universal background checks, no
mm-hmm.
question. We need to keep guns out of the hands of children. We need to keep guns out of the hands of domestic abusers.
Mm-hmm.
We don't need guns on our street that are meant for military That is not necessary. We need safe school zones, and I think communities should have the right to be able to make those decisions. We need red flag laws, because I think it's important when we know someone that we think might be in danger to be able to address that issue in a temporary basis. These are common sense gun safety policies that I will work on as governor. I also am disappointed that that Chris Sununu knew that the first bill that he signed into law was a bill that allowed gun owners to carry a concealed weapon without a permit, and I would repeal that. So again, we are talking about our students. We are in particular talking about young children who look to us, trust us every day. I would not support arming teachers. It is not what teachers want. I respect our teachers, and they need to be safe as well. And I know, and you know, there's nothing more important to them than that safety every single minute in the classroom.
Right.
So they need to be supported. And I will do that as governor.
Great. And you talk about your 7 grandkids. I know I have 3 kids here in the school system. Mm-hmm. I mean, I don't even know the percentage, but it's high of educators that either have grandkids, kids, nephews, nieces. It's the same thing that not only that students are teaching every day, but their own, you know, their own families as well.
I mean, we're talking about safety.
Yeah.
We are really, we're talking about our children. We must come together and address this issue. Sure. We owe it to them. They look to us. They're innocent, looking to us to protect them. And we need to do that, and as governor, I will lead that.
So talking about keeping kids safe and protecting them, you know, educators every day see the effects of the opioid crisis, you know, with the kids coming into school. They're pretty much just, they're coming into school not ready to learn. Grandparents are raising them, or they're at home with parents with addiction, you know, issues. There's food insecurity over the weekend, even at night. There's lack of support at home. What would you do as governor to help educators know that you're with them on this opioid crisis, and that we need they need the help with it?
So there are really 2 issues that we're talking about, and I will address the opioid issue in just a minute. I do want to address the food insecurity because that's been a primary policy for me in the Senate. I had put forth legislation and was able to get that passed and bipartisan to establish a commission that would address child hunger. I know we are talking about food insecurity. It doesn't mean every child is hungry, but it does mean that they're worried that they don't know where their food is coming from next. And we know that there are over 44,000 children in New Hampshire. And I have said over and over again that the first day when I am governor, I will make sure that every child sitting in that classroom has had breakfast and starts their day. They are not hungry, and now they are able to learn.
That goes such a long way during the day to know that they're fed and they can focus on learning instead of having to think about where the next meal
That's
is.
Right. On the opiate epidemic, we have, I know and you know, and I think you would agree with me that there is probably not a family in this state that has not been affected by this epidemic. So there are a few things I think that are important to me that I will do as governor. One is that we need to change the way that we're thinking about this. We think often about this epidemic as if we're going to arrest our way out. It is not. It is an illness. It is an illness, and it needs to be treated as an illness. So we would treat the opiate epidemic as we would any other medical epidemic. So the way I will deal with this as governor is to put forth an emergency comprehensive plan to address the issue, which is prevention, treatment, and recovery. But emergency, because we have been dealing with this just too long. We need to bring everyone to the table who is working and working hard to address this epidemic. We need to be thinking about it as we would any other medical epidemic. Also in my plan would be to address the children who are the innocent victims, and we're seeing more and more consequences of the epidemic affecting children. Newborns, and then children in school. I was with teachers the other day, and they were telling me that we are seeing now the next generation of this epidemic. We have to put a stop to it. So the parents, the grandparents need the support, and we need to be able to talk about that and provide that support with resources. And in the schools, I mean, it is one more thing that we are asking schools to take care of. And so it is a community issue, and the teachers and all educators in the school system need the support of the entire community. I understand that there is a program coming into our state that I would support, which was the, I believe it's called Student Assistant Program, where money has been brought in. You probably know a little bit more because it's new, about a federal block grant, specifically working with the schools and rural schools as well to address this issue. I would support and work with our federal delegation to continue to receive additional federal funding to address this issue. It is not something that we can talk about any longer. Right. We need action, and we need to address it because it is affecting everyone, and it is an illness. It is an illness. I have supported drug courts. I believe that that is the way that we need to move forward, so that parents are not separated from their children, that we keep them together with the support of the community, of their parents, foster parents, but keeping parents involved through the drug courts means they're not sent away into a jail or prison, but able to work through treatment and recovery with real accountability from our legal, from judges and all other legal folks in our community. So I think that is a real combination, a model that is successful and needs to continue to be funded.
Yeah, I think until you hear it, it's surprising, and it's kind of one of those wow moments that we are dealing with the second generation of this now. Mm-hmm. And it's mm-hmm. not something I think that's out there a lot, mm-hmm. but it is, when you say it, it's, mm-hmm. you're right. It's the second generation. That's right. Not good. We right. need to figure this out.
Right. You know, I mean, you can't talk to anyone. I don't. And I ask them a question about someone that had a huge influence on their life, and they will always say, it was a teacher. There's always a teacher. And so I think that children come to school and they know that there is a teacher or a guidance counselor, which we need mm-hmm. more of in our schools, that is there and that they can trust and help them. So the teachers and educators play such a huge role. I know we put more responsibility, but it's natural for a child to trust a teacher. And we hear these stories from generations of what a difference it meant. You know, their mm-hmm. home could be this, but then their classroom was safe, right. and they learned.
And we need to help the educators, as you're saying, because mm-hmm. the educators know the kids are coming in knowing that they can trust them.
Right.
So getting the help that you're talking about for the right. educators as well is crucial.
Well, if we can give $100 million in tax breaks to the 3% of the wealthiest corporations, which is what Governor Sununu has done, then we can fund the necessary funding and resources we need to put an end to this epidemic.
Agreed. I think I'd love to take that money. So on a kind of different topic, so we know New Hampshire's an aging state. Mm-hmm. That's, you know, it's not a secret. One of the biggest problems keeping younger educators in the state is that we have the longest mm-hmm. probationary period in New England. So we have 5 years that a mm-hmm. teacher is on probation mm-hmm. In New Hampshire, and that was installed under mm-hmm. Bill O'Brien. Mm-hmm. Do you think it really takes 5 years to figure out if someone's going to be a good teacher or not?
No, I don't. Not at all.
Good.
And I voted against that bill every chance
Fantastic.
I had in the state Senate, and would certainly, we need to change that, and I will as governor. My goodness, you know, teachers need support, not to feel like somebody's looking over their backs and judging them on a daily basis. Every teacher I talk to is doing this from their heart. It's a vocation. It's something that they love and they can't not do.
Right.
And so we need to encourage and support. I think what teachers need is mentoring mm-hmm. when they start, when they begin to teach, and not look at it as you're on your own and let's wait and see if you make a mistake and see if we can catch you. It's more of how can we help you?
Right.
How can we mentor with those teachers who have been great teachers, mm-hmm. have so much to offer? And as you say, we're an aging population. So there are teachers, I think, who have dedicated their lives that would love to be a part of a mentoring program mm-hmm. with young teachers as well.
Yeah. I don't know too many other professions that, you know, teaching, people don't go into it just because, I'm kind of bored. I think I'll try teaching and see what happens.
Right.
I mean, you're right. It's coming from
right.
the heart. It's
right.
it's definitely who they are.
Yeah.
So a disappointment, you've talked about a few with our governor. Another big disappointment that came up is when he appointed Commissioner Frank Edelblue
yes.
as
yes.
our Commissioner of Education. He is in for a few more years, but, you know, what would you do? How do you foresee working with him when you get elected in November?
Well, you know how important public education is to me, and we have a commissioner who not supporting public education in his knowledge. I think today's I hear he is making efforts. However, why would we have a commissioner of education that does not have a background in public education? It seems to me that it would go against where we're trying to move in public education. So, you know, really, Megan, I really wonder if he wants to work with me. And that would be his question.
That is a good question.
because we will be supporting public education, all of the resources for public education, educators, as we said, and to bring resources and support. I think of education always as the wisest investment with the greatest return. If we are invested in education, it makes a difference throughout our entire communities and our state. Mm-hmm. It is the foundation. I even believe it is the core of democracy. And that if we start to move away from public education, whether it's funding or even the way we think, we are eroding our democracy. Mm-hmm. That's how strong I feel about that. So I need to work with a commissioner who agrees with me.
But will he work with you? I think he'll be very frustrated. So, last kind of issue, we have about 2,000 retired members
right.
in New Hampshire, all of whom have gone without a COLA for 7 or 8 years. The average educator only receives about a $25,000 mm-hmm. pension when they retire, mm-hmm. despite what the papers say that, you know, we're living high when we retire and have all this money. But do you think $25,000 is enough to retire on? If not, what can we do to make sure that our retirees have a livable pension?
Well, I think one of the things you said earlier really is right to this point as well, is that how do we move and keep our young new teachers in here in New Hampshire if they don't think that the state values who they are mm-hmm. and is committed to them for a lifetime and understands the value that they bring to the state. And when we talk about value, I think the COLA is really reflecting that. And so as governor, I would certainly want to move that COLA so that teachers today know that I am behind them. And also the teachers who have given their entire lives to teaching know that they have a governor who respects the work that they have done and wants to reward them for them over their lifetime.
Great. Thank you, Senator. Do you have any last minute thoughts you want to bring up? I know that you know, we're very excited for the rest of the campaign
yes.
going forward, and
yes.
and we'll do all we can to help you. Having you as our next governor is going to be great, but knowing that education is your top priority.
Right.
And
well, Megan, I want to thank everyone who voted in the primary. Thank you. I also want to say that you are absolutely right. We are moving into the general election, which is November 6th, less than 7 weeks away.
Mm-hmm.
So everyone has to, I'm working hard. We need to work hard together. I cannot thank the NEA enough for their endorsement as we do move forward. You were there in the primary, and you're there here in the general. Everyone is going to have to get out and knock on doors, get their friends to vote. I'm excited and energized, we need to move education forward in the state, and I need all of our educators' help to be able to do that. I will stand with them, and I hope that they will stand with me.
Great. Thank you.
Thank you.